God's Word. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll look this morning at verse number 1, and I want to give you a little thought out of this scripture from down in verse 5. Look at chapter 22 and verse 1. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding." And that ain't the bride. "And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. Mine oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.' But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise." In this scripture, the Bible said this man, picturing Jesus in the kingdom of heaven, made a big marriage. His son was going to get married, and he made a big deal out of it. And he went out saying, "Look, this is only going to happen one time in history, ever, never has before, never will again. Come to the marriage. Come to the marriage." But the Bible said in verse 5, they made light of it. That's what I want to preach about this morning, making light of the things of God. The Bible said that they made light of it. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? You can get that, can't you? You can understand what it says, he invited them to come, but they made light of it. In other words, they didn't take it serious. It was not that big a deal to them. Now, I want to use that as a thought for a few minutes and say, of all the things in the Christian life, sometimes, if you're not careful, it's easy not to take it as serious as you should. Now, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Many tragedies. How many car wrecks have there been on their highways this week because somebody took it lightly that they were behind the wheel of a vehicle? How many tragedies have happened because somebody, like that train that wrecked up there up north a few weeks ago, somebody made light of it, their job. They didn't take their job seriously. Sometimes if you're an employer, you'll have an employee, and that employee just don't take it serious. They don't show up to work on time. That when they're there, they don't halfway do their job. They sort of half-heartedly do everything. You know what they're doing? They're making light of their responsibility. If you're a teacher and you have students in there who take it serious, and you have students in there that don't even, they have no clue of how serious a position that they're in. They made light of it. And that's translated on in the life. They come in work late, come in school late, halfway, dressing sloppy and nasty and not prepared, and they cheat on tests and everything. You know what they're doing? They're taking it lightly. Bible said these men made light of it. And so let's think about that this morning. And I'm going to give you a few things this morning that you should never make light of. Number one, never make light of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know why? He's not just a religious figure. The Lord Jesus Christ is and was God in the flesh. He's a second person of the Godhead, the Trinity, God in the flesh. He's the Savior. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that name of Jesus Christ." If you went out to stay downtown Charlotte and just stop people with a microphone, try it sometime. I used to do this and it's a lot of fun. Say, "What do you think about Jesus Christ?" You'd be shocked at how people make light of it. Most people would say, "Well, he's all right. He's cool. I don't know. I guess he's a great leader. He's a great man. One of them." I'm telling you, he's a lot more than all right. He's a lot more than a religious leader. What you do with him depends on makes your eternal destiny, brother. What you do with him or without him determines whether you go to heaven or hell. Determines whether or not your name is written in heaven. Determines whether or not where you go when you leave this world. You better not make light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, I heard a preacher the other day. I was watching some preaching on YouTube, and it popped up, something related something or other, and it said, a preacher quits preaching and abandons his faith. I said, oh, Lord, let me hear this. So I popped it on, listened to about a 9-minute testimony. And these guys, I guess they think they're cool or something. They make videos while they're driving down the road in their car. I guess that's supposed to be the cool way. And he had his camera on. He's driving down the road. He said, let me just tell you people, you people at the church ought to appreciate me for being honest, because I have finally just admitted that I don't believe the Bible, and I've done my research, and the Bible is not true. That's what he said. And he'd been preaching for years and pastored a church and everything else. And he said, I've done my research. He said, if you do your research, you'd find out that not one character in the Bible ever really even existed on this earth. He was saying there was no Moses, there was no Abraham, there was no Jesus. Somebody made it up. He said that church made it up, that Catholic church at Constantine in 325 A.D. He said they just made all this stuff up. And I was sitting there thinking, brother, the devil done shot you a curve. You must have been one of them mama called, daddy called, Sunday school teacher called preachers. You know what? He was making light. He said there was no historical evidence of any of the people in the Bible. And I thought, man, you're crazy. There's tons of historical evidence for the people, for the coins. You know the coins in the Bible? The money, like a shekel and like a pence and all those coins in the Bible, every one of them have been found in abundance by digging, and our archaeologists and people have dug those things up. It's all been authenticated. There's brimstone all over there where Sodom and Gomorrah is. There's Noah's Ark up yonder on the top of those mountains in Siberia, Russia, wherever it's at, Mount Ararat. And the Lord Jesus Himself, did you know the Encyclopedia Britannica gives 20,000 words to authenticate the life of the historical person of Jesus Christ that lives on this earth? They don't give that much words to heart. Nobody else I don't get. Josephus, any reliable historian. Josephus wrote from between 37 A.D. and 95 A.D. That was only 2 years after Jesus died, brother. A year and a half, 3 years, something like that. And he tells tons of stuff about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ, somebody you better not make light of. You better not make light. Now, if it's Confucius, if it's Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, one of those Greek philosophers, they borrowed all their stuff from Solomon. What little bit they knew that was right, they got it in the Old Testament, and then they tried to act like they invented it. I'm telling you, you better not take the Lord Jesus Christ lightly. He's nobody to take lightly. He one day will be on this earth King of kings and Lord of lords. And everybody and everything will be eventually in submission to Him. You better not take lightly the Lord Jesus Christ. My question would be to you today, who is Jesus Christ to you right now? You say, well, I grew up in my church. We talked about Jesus and everything, and I was taught if you're a good person, you'll eventually go to heaven. No, 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 no. Jesus said, I am the door. He's the door. The way you got in this church this morning, you come in that door. Most of you come in that door back there. That's what Jesus is. He's the door. He's not just something you tag along with your religion. He is the only way. He is the way. He's not helping you find the way, brother. He is the way in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never make light of it. Number two, let me say secondly this morning, never make light of the Bible. Never, ever, ever make light of the Word of God. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We believe as Christians that this is divinely inspired, infallible, inerrant, Word of the living God. This is not just a history book, although it is. This is not just a science book, although it is. It's not just a religious book, although it is. It's a book on war. It's a book on family. It's a book on marriage. It's a book on raising children. It's a book on philosophy. It's a book on past. It's a book on prophecy. I'm telling you, you better not make light of your Bible. You know what God did? God fixed it so that the common man, not just the educated elite, the common man can take everything he really needs as important and keep it in one book. One book made up of 66 books, and you've got everything you need to know about life that's important. I know people who say, well, I've got a Bible on the shelf and I've got tons of other books. I tell you what you better do. You better put that book right there above. You know what that book right there is? That book right there is center, front and center in Shining Light Baptist Church. Our little theme, our logo is Bible preaching. This whole thing is built upon that book right there. You ever been to some of them so-called churches and they got a pulpit over there on that side and a pulpit over there on that side and ain't got nothing in either one of them? They'll have a liquor jug right here in the middle where the priest will stand there and bless the wine. You know what? Center of attention is liquor there, brother. You know what the center of attention is in a Bible-believing church? The Bible. The Bible is the center of attention. This right here. This right here is what we go by. This right here is what we live by. This is what here is what will be judged by. You're going to be judged by this book one day. Not your denominational preference, by this book right here. This is what you'll be judged by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. You need to know the Bible better this year than you know last year. You need to know the types of the Bible. You need to understand the difference between Jew and Gentile and the church. You need to understand the difference in law and grace. If you were not here Wednesday night, Lord have mercy, we got it. We're studying the book of Colossians, and we talked about what a dispensation is. You need to understand what a dispensation is. There's dispensations in the Bible. I read about those great men and talked about like John Wycliffe and John Huss, who was burned at the stake, and William Tyndale, who was, humanly speaking, the man responsible for getting the Bible translated in English. Do you know why they call the Dark Ages the Dark Ages? It's because the Catholic Church basically run the world during that time. And their mindset was, keep the public in darkness and don't let them have the Bible and we can keep control over them. They said, if them people ever starts getting that Bible for themselves, they'll find out what a bunch of crooks we are, and we'll lose our income. That's basically it in a nutshell. And if you want to study the Dark Ages, that's just it in a nutshell. And buddy, that some of them guys started rebelling, and some of them guys like like Wycliffe, and some of them guys, they started rebellion. And Martin Luther in 1500s, he came out, and he was a monk, and he saw how those people were being treated, and he saw that they called them the peasants. That's what they call them, peasants. And old Martin Luther saw how they were being treated, and he said, "This isn't right." And they told him, "They said, you just shut up, keep your mouth shut. Whatever the Pope says, that's what we'll do." He said, "What about where the Pope says one thing and the Scriptures say another thing?" And they'll say, "We do what the Pope said." That was their thinking. If you don't believe it, you don't know much about church history. And brother, the Pope, they said, was basically in control religiously and every way over the lives of everybody. Had them people scared to death that if they didn't give so much money, those indulgences, they would sell indulgences. And in the Catholic Church, you give so much money or your people don't get out of purgatory. Your uncle that died last year or your grandma that died last year. And old Martin Luther got in there, brother, and he read "The Just Shall Live by Faith," and he lived that Christ justifies us in the Word of God. And he said, "I want people to know this." They said, "Shut up." And he said, "I want people to know this." They said, "Shut up." And he wrote Luther's translation in German, and the people started getting a hold of the Word of God. That's what we call the Protestant Reformation. When the church come out of there. Now, there were Christians all the way through that time that never was in it. That's why we as Baptists don't claim to be Protestant, because we were never in the Catholic Church. But Lutherans come out of the Catholic Church, Martin Luther. Presbyterians come out of the Catholic Church, that's John Calvin. And Methodists come out of the Catholic Church, that's John Wesley. But they were always Christians who were never in it. But I'm telling you, buddy, when that thing got out, it was like the dam busted loose. Everybody got them a Bible and started reading the Word of God. And old William Tyndale looked at the priest one time. He said, "I long to see the day when the plowboy down there plowing the garden knows as much the Word of God as the Pope in Rome." And thank God that day came. Ladies and gentlemen, our forefathers paid a price for us to have this book. People died so me and you could sit here. People shed their blood and was burned at the stake so me and you could hold the Bible. in Shining Light Baptist Church. Never make light of the Bible. God's going to hold you accountable for what it says right here in this book. Don't make light of the Word of God. Number three, you should never make light of your conscience. Your conscience is designed to bring you to God. That's why you have it. And God puts something in you that dogs don't have. A dog can get a bone from another dog and go over there and eat it and not feel a bit guilty. They're not even related to animals, other than that we have the same Creator. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a conscience. If you do something wrong, something inside bothers you. Never take that for granted. You ought to thank God. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many, like me growing up, every time when I was 12 and 13 years old, first time I ever said a cuss word, first time I ever took God's name in vain, I remember plain as day, I went home with this boy over there in Nebo, and me and him was riding down by, and he was cussing. He was taking God's name in vain, and I thought, man, I'd never said nothing like that in my life. And my mom would kill me if she heard. She wouldn't even let us say words like these kids run around saying to each other all the time. She wouldn't even let us talk like that. Anything that wasn't just clean, she wouldn't let us say. And I remember thinking, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. And then I heard a girl I went to school with. She cussed. And I said, if a girl can do it, I can do it. And I said blankety blank for the first time. I think I might have been 13 years old. And you know what? I felt terrible. And something changed on the inside. My heart felt dark. And then I started cussing regularly. And I did until I got saved. And then I quit. But I'm telling you, buddy, you don't never do something wrong unless that conscience smites you. And you ought to thank the Lord for that. If you're out here, how many of you have been out here and you're doing something wrong, and every time you do it, you're miserable, you feel bad, you think, oh, God, Lord, I'm sorry. God, why do I have to? I know people that say, why does it have to bother me? Why can't God just leave me alone? You better thank God you've got a conscience, and you better thank God it pushes you toward Him to repent. Never make light of your conscience. Your conscience can be seared, according to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. You can sear your conscience so that it don't bother you anymore. And that's why people can live in sin and it don't bother them. You can finally just say no, 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 no until you fried it like an iron. Kills your nerves in you, seared with a hot iron. That's what it said. Like an iron would kill the nerve where you can't feel nothing no more. If you do wrong and feel bad for it, thank God. That's a blessing from the Lord. You'd never make light of your conscience. If you can get to where you can carry money without spending it, if you can get to where you can bear a false accusation without retaliating and fighting back, if you're able to keep on the job till it's finished, if you're able to do your duty when nobody's looking, you're starting to be grown up and be a good Christian. When you can do right and nobody don't know it but you and God, and you resist temptation when nobody don't know it, just you and God, then you're getting somewhere. To be able to accept criticism without letting it get to you is about being a... Jonathan Edwards said this, the great preacher Jonathan Edwards. He said he resolved. Everybody's doing New Year's resolution. Here's some things to resolve. Here's what he said. Number one, he said, I resolve to live with all my might while I do live. He said, every day I'm not just going to lay around on the couch and eat Doritos all the time and get dumber and dumber watching TV. He said, I'm going to get smarter. He said, number two, I'm never going to lose one moment of time, and I'm going to use it profitably. We can learn from that. Number three, he said, I'm never going to do anything that I would despise in another or think bad of somebody else for doing. Now, let me stop right there just a second. We are so quick to point out other people's sins and so lenient on our own. We see our sins through a telescope and other people's through a microscope. We see our sins far away and theirs up close. Here's a good rule to live by. Don't do something that you'd think bad of somebody else for doing. We're geniuses at pointing out sins when it's other people. Boy, we can't see ours. That's a good rule to live by. He said never to do anything out of revenge. Don't do something just to get somebody back. If you've been going through a divorce, or you're going through hard times at work, or you got fired or something like that, don't do stuff just to hurt the other person. That's God's job. He's the one who'll take care of sin. You don't have to, you say, I'll get them back if it's a life thing. You don't have to have that attitude. You just live your life. Let God take care of getting them back. If they need to get got, He can get them, brother. I mean, if they need getting, He's able to get them. You don't have to help Him. You live right, serve God, and don't try to play God and punish other people for their sins. Let the Lord handle that. And He said, never do anything that I'd be afraid of doing if it was my last day on earth. Something to live by. Number four. Never make light of your influence. Never make light of your testimony. Guard it. Your testimony is the second most valuable thing you have. What's your first one? Your salvation. Salvation, the most valuable thing you have. Your testimony is second. In other words, your Christian testimony. It is. It's not worth losing your testimony over a few dollars at work and showing yourself and acting out and getting in the flesh and cussing somebody out or because you didn't get a promotion you wanted. It is not worth it. I played basketball all my life, ever since I was 12 years old, except for a time there I didn't play for several few years. And it was so hard for me when I got into this Christian basketball to retrain my mind to think like that. When we started school up there in Marion, the only ball games I'd ever been were public school. And, buddy, we went in there. We was the good guys. They was the bad guys. Kill them. Win. Beat them to death. Had no mercy. Boo. We booed them. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do in a ball game. We got in that Christian school, and I thought the same way. Get them. I told them boys, I said, win fair if you can. And I was joking with them, but I was just saying, do what you got. I mean, bam! Bam! And they said, now, in Christian sports, it's not really who wins. It's just for fun and fellowship. I couldn't get that through my head. Something in me was saying, no, it was like trying to tell me the sun's cold. I could not get that. What do you mean it don't matter? What are you talking about? I still think there's something wrong with somebody that thinks like that. I don't care if it's checkers. I don't care if it's you. I mean, the whole point of playing a game is for him to beat you, you to beat him. And it took me forever. I almost got kicked out of the gym up there, man. Now the pastor. I was over there, and this guy come over there, and I said, hey, boo, your shirt's hanging out, socks are down, shoes untied, boo, just cutting up, having a big time. And the referee said, you're going to have to hush this right anyway. I was the pastor of the church, and I said, Lordy mercy, what are we supposed to do? Wonderful boys. When they do something, we're just supposed to sit here. When we do something, say, yay. I said, something ain't right with this. And it's the same way over there playing ball. But you know what? You know what? After a couple years of church ball over there, I said, look, you still want to win, but you don't want to win at the expense of your testimony. Nothing is as important as not acting like a Christian. Whether you win or lose is not the most important thing now. It's how you represent the Lord Jesus Christ and be a help to other people through Him. Amen? You have to retrain. People go to work and they say, I'm going to advance. I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to be the head of this company. I'll stomp on everybody. You better remember that while you're at work, the most important thing is not that promotion and how much money you're going to make. It's your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony is more important than a promotion at work. Your testimony is more important than a call the referee makes. Your testimony is more important than I know people that... I've been with preachers out in public in other states where we would go out to eat and the preacher would fuss about his steak not being cooked good. I don't know if I've ever done that. I mean if I can get it down, I'll just get it down. But I've seen them eat half of it and say, I can't eat this. And fuss at the way I told you that I wanted it medium rare. And the poor little old girl, she didn't cook it. And I was sitting over there going, Lord, I hope he don't try to give her a track or something after acting like he did and everything. And I thought, Lord, have mercy! Hey, your testimony's more important than how your steak's cooked. You can be nice to somebody and say, ma'am, would you ask them if they can cook this a little bit more or something like that? If you got to, if you're going to die, it's going to kill you. But sometimes we forget our testimony. People's watching us. Throw food on the floor and act right smart off to the waitress and everything else, and then leave her a track. I bet she really appreciates that. Amen. Somebody said, when in doubt, tell the truth. Amen. Make yourself get in the habit of telling the truth. Don't be a stumbling block to somebody else. Number five, I'll say this, I'm going to hurry. Never make light of your responsibility. Never make light of your responsibility. Your responsibility. You have some responsibility. Don't make light of it. To make the right decisions. It's not what you feel or how you think as a church member. You must be responsible. There's so, you know why? I know a lot of people in church that could be a good preacher. I know a lot of people in church that are talented. I know people all over this country that have talent going to waste, but God can't use them because they're not responsible. Amen? He's not looking for your talent, brother. He's looking for somebody that'll be faithful and responsible and not take light being their responsibility. I have a responsibility to be in this pulpit. You wouldn't believe the letters or the emails or whatever they are and texts that I got this week, because last Sunday I had that cold and I was preaching and Florida, California, everywhere. Sorry you're sick, Brother Danny. Sorry you're sick. Praying for you. Hope you're doing better. Sure didn't hurt you preaching none. Enjoyed that. I'm just over and over and New York, places like that. And I thought, you know what? There's people out there depending on me. I have a responsibility to be right here behind this pulpit preaching the Word of God. That's why I'm here this morning. That's why I'm here this morning. We're not here to say, we come to church in the snow. No. I have a responsibility. This is on my record. I don't take light my responsibility. And I'm going to tell you something. I joke and cut up a lot. I'm all for a good time. I love to cut up and have fun. But, buddy, when it comes to preaching and the Word of God and church and the Bible, I ain't going to take this thing lightly. I'm going to take it serious. We'll take it serious. Old John Wesley said, give me 100 preachers that fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I'll turn this world upside down. You know why? He said, I want some people that'll take it serious. Years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Henry Martin. And Henry Martin was a very, very educated man, graduated from Cambridge University. Smart guy. And they, 25 years old, and they said, you need this career, you can go into this field, you can go to this field, you can get rich here, you can do this. And he felt like God called him to be a missionary. 25 years old, left everything he had and went to India as a missionary. Lived 6 years. Died when he was 31. And that old boy right now holds a place in church history because he said, I'm not taking this lightly. I've only got one life. I'm going to make it count. Listen, are you making your life count? Are you being a witness? Can you grab your hand? Can't you take some tracks and put them out? Can't you put a sticker on your car? Be a witness everywhere you go. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. You've heard my story before, and I'm going to tell you a couple when I'm done. How many times have you heard stories like this? Years ago, there's this young man, this young lady, Christian lady, fell in love. And they were head over heels in love, ready to get married. And this is a long time ago, back 200 years ago, missionaries couldn't come home twice every 2 years like they do now. And they went, they was gone, buddy, probably for the rest of their life. And finally, he asked her to marry him. And she said yes. And they went on there for a while, and he got called to be a missionary. And he said, I'm going to some far country off somewhere, India or somewhere, Africa or somewhere. He said, I'm going there to spend my life. And she said, in that case, I can't marry you. And broke that guy's heart. Now, he had a choice to make. Stay here and marry her, or do what God's called me to do. And he didn't make light of it. He said, I love you, but I've got to do what God calls me to do. And he went ahead and made preparation with me, and they broke up. And he said, I love you. If you ever change your mind, please let me know. She went on back home. He started making preparations to go to the mission field. And buddy, when he did, he got that on that mission, getting ready to go to the mission field. And one day, she got to thinking, and she was praying and reading the Bible and stuff, and she had a change of heart. And she said, you know what? I could have married God's man. I could have married God's man and stood by him on the mission field and supported him and been a good preacher's wife and helped him. But I was selfish and wanting to stay here with my family and everything. And I could have married God's man. And she sent him a message, you know, I accept the invitation. I want to marry you. And she said, she wrote him a nice letter. And she told her, it was pouring the rain that day. And she called her little brother. And she said, will you take this and mail it for me? So he took it on down there and went to the post office. And she waited 3 months and never heard nothing. She waited 6 months and never heard nothing. She said, I guess he's changed his mind. A year went by, and she heard that his ship had sailed off to the mission field. She said, I guess he changed his mind. He didn't want me. That old boy went by himself. And years later, they moved. Her family moved, and she was going through a bunch of stuff, and throwing away things and everything. She pulled out an old coat, and it was her brother's coat, and she reached down the pocket. There was her letter. He never mailed it. He never mailed it. He took it lightly. And you know what she thought? You think about that now. Her life was forever different. That boy went to the mission field by himself. Could have had a wife, maybe children, may have been missionaries. Thousands of lives changed because one kid took it lightly. He made light of it. And look what happened. I'm telling you, you better not make light of your responsibility. That person you work beside might be dead this week. It happens. That person you live beside might go into eternity this week. You better. That's why I like to give out tracts everywhere I go. I don't want somebody to come and say, man, you just talked to that guy the other day. Now he's dead and in hell. I don't want to make light of my responsibility. Last thing. Don't make light of his invitation. The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what's wrong with them people in Noah's day? They made light of it. They fooled around there and didn't get in the boat. You know what made wrong with them people in Lot's day? Lot's sons-in-laws, they made light of it. They mocked it. His daddy said, you better get out of here. God's going to burn this place. Ah! You're getting all worked up over nothing, Dad. They made light of it. Don't make light of God's invitation. Can I say this morning? We're going to pray. Somebody here today might be hearing your last sermon right now. Don't make light of it. Don't make light of it. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to wait just a few seconds. Maybe you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart. Nobody here is by accident. Nobody just randomly decided to walk in here this morning. God brought you here to deal with your heart. Would you be a man enough, a woman enough, a young person enough to just slide right out of your seat, make your way down here, do business with the Lord? Would you do that, Mama, Daddy? Right now would be a good time to do it. We're not going to sing. This is our invitation. Right now, come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on, young lady. Come on. Be a good time. Give your life completely to Jesus Christ right now. You better not take this lightly. Oh, I just went to church and got it over with this morning. We had a crowd, you know, snowy day. You better not take it lightly. You better not take it lightly. You better not.